Scripture reading this evening is from the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 10, verses 32 through 52. Mark, chapter 10, beginning at verse 32, let us hear the Word of God. And they were in the way going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went before them, and they were amazed. And as they followed, they were afraid. And he took again the 12 and began to tell them what things should happen unto him, saying, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death and shall deliver him to the Gentiles. And they shall mock him and shall scourge him and shall spit upon him and shall kill him. And the third day he shall rise again. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, come unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou should do for us whatsoever we shall desire. And he said unto them, What would ye that I should do for you? They said unto him, Grant unto us that we may sit, one on thy right hand, and the other on thy left hand, in thy glory. But Jesus said unto them, Ye know not what ye ask. Can ye drink of that cup that I drink of? And be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said unto him, We can. And Jesus said unto them, Ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized with, ye shall be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. And when the 10 heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. But Jesus called them to him and said unto them, Ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Thus far the reading of God's holy word. Dear congregation, the gospel according to Mark is the shortest of the four. It only has 16 chapters. And from chapters 1 through the first part of chapter 10 is a description of the 3 years of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then from chapter 10, verse 32 to the end of chapter 15 describes the final 10 days of his life on earth. And in chapter 16 we have the record of his resurrection and his giving of the Great Commission. This morning we spent some time in chapter 10. And we know that Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. Children, we have heard that he has told his disciples, and we read it again now this evening, what's going to happen. He's going to be handed over. He's going to be betrayed. He's going to be killed. And the third day, he's going to rise again. And here, he is on his way to Jerusalem. For the third and final time of his ministry, he's going to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. And there are many, many Jewish people with him on the road leading to Jerusalem. This is a great yearly event and drew large crowds of people to the holy city. And as they are going towards the city, they are singing the Psalms of Degrees as they come nearer and nearer to Jerusalem. And Jesus, with his disciples, are also traveling. And on their way to Jerusalem, they come to the city of Jericho. This is the only time recorded in the Gospels that the Lord Jesus came to Jericho. It's known as the City of Palms at that time because it was a beautiful place, like a resort in the desert, with lots of palm trees and beautiful flowers and gardens. But now there's nothing left of that city. And yet in those days, Jesus had to travel to Jericho. It's remarkable how Jesus had to be there that day. He must needs go to Jericho because there are two people very specifically who have to meet Jesus Christ that day in Jericho. One of them is not even mentioned by Mark. Mark begins his chapter this section this way, and they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho, and he doesn't tell us anything that happened in Jericho. But Luke does. Luke tells us, children, of a man named Zacchaeus who lives in Jericho. Zacchaeus, a despised tax collector, a little man, a very short man who in the crowd couldn't see the Lord Jesus because all these tall people were in front of him and he just couldn't see. So what he did, you know that story, he ran up to a tree and he climbed into a tree, and from there he could see Jesus from above the crowds. But as Jesus came under that tree, he stopped and he looked up, and there he saw Zacchaeus, and he said, "Zacchaeus, make haste, come down from that tree, because today I have to be at your house." And Zacchaeus came down and received Jesus joyfully. And that day, Zacchaeus is saved. He repents of his sins and he vows to pay back fourfold whatever he has stolen. If he has stole something, he's going to pay that person back four times as much. And he vows to give half of his goods to the poor. It sounds good on the outside, doesn't it? Sounds like true repentance. And it reflects what's going on the inside too. Because the Lord Jesus says of him in Luke 19 verse 9, "This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." So Zacchaeus was a chosen one, a son of Abraham. And so he had to meet the Lord Jesus that day. But there's another man. Someone else has to meet Jesus. And Jesus is going to meet him on his way out of the city. So our text this evening is Mark 10, verses 46 to 52. I'll read at this time only verse 47. "And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and to say, 'Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me.'" That verse in its context from verse 46 to 52 is our text. And we see here the theme, blessed blind Bartimaeus. First, we want to consider his blessed condition. Secondly, Jesus' blessed command. And finally, the blessed conclusion. Blessed blind Bartimaeus. His blessed condition, Jesus' blessed command, and the blessed conclusion. "And they came to Jericho," the city where Bartimaeus lives. "And as he went out of the city with his disciples and a great number of people," see again as usual, the disciples are with the Lord Jesus, and he has drawn large crowds to him again. And it's not surprising that Mark says that there are a great, great number of people with Jesus, because it is the time of the Passover. And many more travelers are on the road than usual. And in this case, they also accompany the Lord Jesus. And they know that this rabbi of Nazareth, he has become famous in Judea. He can do miracles. He can heal people. And he can make bread out of... He can make thousands of loaves of bread out of a few little loaves. And he can feed thousands of people from a few little fishes. And so he's always drawing crowds. And maybe this crowd that's around him now was there when he called Zacchaeus out of the tree. And maybe they're still talking about Zacchaeus and Jesus going there for dinner. And maybe they're still condemning Jesus. And maybe still criticizing him that he went to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. But Jesus pays no attention to it whatsoever. As he leaves Jericho, he goes out of the city gate onto the highway. And when we see the word highway in this text, then don't think of a beautiful interstate highway. No, it's really no more than a well-traveled dirt trail. It's dusty and dangerous too. Jesus has just been in the home of one of the wealthiest men in Jericho. But he's about to meet one of the poorest people you can imagine from Jericho, a person who in that society was considered as having a curse on him. Who is that person? Well, the text tells us he is the son of Timaeus, Bartimaeus, the blind one. There's a man in the city of Jericho, his name is Timaeus, and he has a son whom he calls Bartimaeus, and that simply means son of Timaeus. He is the blind one. When the people of Jericho talk about Bartimaeus, that's the name they give him. The blind one. And everybody would know who they were talking about. Children, you know what blindness is. People who are blind can see nothing. And Bartimaeus is such a man. His eyes didn't work. If he was outside on a sunny day, he could feel the warmth of the sun, but he couldn't see its light. He could hear the birds singing, but he could never see them flying away or see their lovely colors. He could smell the flowers of the beautiful gardens in Jericho, but he could never see their beauty. And in Bartimaeus' days, if you were blind, you couldn't travel anywhere. You couldn't get a job. You couldn't read. There was no such thing as Braille for blind people. There was no such thing as talking computers. No, he would be an outcast. And people would think in their minds and sometimes even come out and say it, oh, he must be a great sinner, that the Lord would smite him with blindness, or his parents must have committed some great sin. His family must be very, very bad, and we can't trust them for sure. And sometimes the blind people went and became beggars. Their family refused to look after them, then they sent them out onto the highway. And there they would sit by the highway like Bartimaeus, sit there every day, and he would take off his jacket and spread it out on the ground there, and there he would sit. And if he heard someone coming by on the road, he would hold out his hands and he would say, alms for the poor, alms for the poor. And if people were generous, then they would drop a coin or two onto his jacket. And that's how Bartimaeus made his living. That's how he earned his money. A blind beggar, always dependent on others. But you know, there were also good days for those blind beggars, and that would be a feast day, like the feast of the Passover, because then many more people would come. And the Jewish people would be feeling very religious on those days, and they would give more willingly. And Bartimaeus hears a large crowd is coming closer to him. It must have been unusually loud or somehow different. There must be somebody special coming. Not what he's used to. But he knows it's the Passover time. And people are just more willing to give. Just like we are around Christmas time. You know, we're all a little more willing to give. We all feel a little better. And it's just the same with the Jewish people. Just feeling a little more religious on those days. And so we give a little more freely. Luke, in the parallel passage, says that Bartimaeus heard the multitude pass by. And he asked what it meant. What does all this noise mean? Why is this? Who's coming? And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passes by. That's how the people described the Lord Jesus. He is Jesus of Nazareth. That's so they could differentiate him from the other rabbis of those days. And they still recognize him as a rabbi or a good man. But you notice they don't say the Messiah is coming by. No, simply Jesus of Nazareth. They don't recognize him as the Son of God and the Son of Man. And that's not really shocking either, because even his own disciples don't. They still don't understand. But you see, Bartimaeus is a richly blessed man. You say, how can that be? How can it be a blessing? If you're blind, how can you say that you are blessed? Yes, he is blind. Yes, he is despised. Yes, he is a beggar. But Bartimaeus knows who Jesus is. Bartimaeus has something in his heart, something that is placed there by the Holy Spirit. You could call it a spark of faith. Through the preaching in the synagogue, he has heard. He's heard the law and the prophets. He has heard about the Messiah who has been prophesied, who shall come. He has heard that Messiah shall save his people. And he believes that message. And he has also heard of the Lord Jesus Christ who has come. And Bartimaeus has made the connection. This Jesus of Nazareth is none other than the promised Messiah. The Lord Jesus, he knows it, is the servant of Jehovah of whom Isaiah spoke. The Lord Jesus is the promised Son of David. He is the wonderful, the counselor, the mighty God that you read of in Isaiah 9, verse 6. So Bartimaeus is indeed a blessed man. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, verse 47, he began to cry out and to say, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. There's the evidence of his faith. Evidence is that he begins to cry out to Jesus. And he prays, have mercy on me. When those other people tell him who it is that's passing by, that it is Jesus, that Bartimaeus springs into action. And Bartimaeus does what every person of faith does. He begins to cry out to Jesus Christ. He cannot be silent. He can't be shy and timid. Because his need is too great. And when he hears that Jesus of Nazareth passes by, he begins to cry out to him. And that's how you too may know whether you are a child of God, whether you have this faith too. You begin to cry out to Jesus. He begins to cry. He begins to shout. He calls out loudly, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. That name, Jesus, children, you know that means Savior. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, said the angel to Joseph, for he shall save his people from their sins. And Bartimaeus shouts that name, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. You notice he not only stops at calling him Jesus, he calls him the Son of David. There's more evidence of his faith. He knows Jesus as the Son of David. The precious name of the Savior, the eternal King, the promised Messiah, is the promised seed of King David. No, it's not just neat Jesus of Nazareth. Not just one rabbi among many. This is the one and only Jesus, the Son of David. And that's the language of faith. Acknowledging who Jesus Christ is and expressing its need for what Jesus Christ does. Because listen to what he cries. Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Bartimaeus needs mercy. He needs Jesus to show kindness to him. He needs Jesus to show concern for him in his serious need. Have compassion on me. Have pity on me. Someone, that's the cry of someone who knows they need the mercy of the Lord. Why do people need the mercy of the Lord? Because of their sins. Their sins that have caused a separation between them and the Lord. So when you begin to cry out for mercy, that's like the man in the back of the temple. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's a beautiful cry. God's people love to hear it when others are crying for mercy unto the Lord. The people in the crowd around Bartimaeus, they were not so impressed. They're not so happy with Bartimaeus. Here's this blind man making a scene, shouting out loud, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And they don't want to hear it. They don't want this man making all this noise. They were just having such a nice time following this Jesus. And then you read in verse 48, many of them kept rebuking him that he should hold his peace. You can almost hear him. "Blind man, be quiet. Hush up over there." They commanded him to be quiet. Don't make all that noise crying to Jesus, crying for mercy. Be quiet. Hold your peace. What that crowd doesn't know is that you cannot silence the cry of faith. It can't be silenced. Bartimaeus is shouting out loud, expressing his need for this mercy. He's calling on the only one who can help him, Jesus, Son of David. He just ignores them. They tell him, "Be quiet, blind man." But he does just the opposite. He kept on crying all the more. Over and over, he kept on shouting, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And the more he shouted, and the more he cried out, the more that faith was active. And the more that faith wouldn't stop. And that little spark of faith that the Holy Spirit had placed there began to smolder and to smoke, and it flickered into a flame. It burst into flame so that he could not be quiet. That flame of faith could not be snuffed out. It's what we read this morning of the servant of Jehovah. He will not snuff out a smoking reed. Bartimaeus kept crying all the more. The way it's written in Greek is he kept on shouting the same thing over and over and over. "Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on me." He wouldn't stop. He needed the mercy of Jesus Christ. And that is the blessed condition of Bartimaeus. A man with faith, knowing exactly who to cry to, knowing exactly what to cry for. A man who cannot do without the mercy of Jesus Christ. Is that you too? If that is your case, if you cannot live without the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ, then you're in the same blessed condition as Bartimaeus is. And you hear it in his words that he is a man who has been so blessed because he knows who Jesus Christ is. This is the promised Messiah. This is the promised heir of David's throne. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. The language of faith. And that will never disappoint you. That cry will not be ignored. Jesus hears such calls today too, still. Our second thought, Jesus' blessed command. I read in verse 49 these precious gospel words, "And Jesus stood still." Bartimaeus is crying, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." The other ones tell him to be quiet, but he keeps on crying all the more, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still. Jesus stops for for Bartimaeus. Jesus stops to serve. That's what we heard this morning too. The Son of Man came to serve. Jesus stops now to serve Bartimaeus. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forevermore, even today, even this evening. He still stands still when sinners cry out to Him. He's never too busy. Never too busy to take time to hear a sinner and to deal with sinners. If you consider where Jesus is now in Jericho, on His way to Jerusalem, on His way to His suffering and to His cross, even then, Jesus stood still when Bartimaeus cries out to Him for mercy. And since He's still the same, we may be sure that this evening, when there are people here crying out for mercy to Jesus, the Son of David, Jesus stands still. He stops when Bartimaeus cries. Also, people here whose name is not Bartimaeus, but who are crying out to the Lord Jesus all the same. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus hears you. Children, He hears your voice when you cry this to Him. He hears you and He stops and He stands still and He issues a command. He commanded him to be called. Isn't that a blessed command from Jesus? He tells those people, go call that blind man. Go call that Bartimaeus. Call him. That's the same command that comes to every pastor, every office bearer, every believer. Jesus commands us to go and call the blind ones. Go call those who are calling to me. Call those sinners to come to me. Go and call him. And the people obey Jesus. They go to the blind man. They say to him, be of good comfort. Rise. He calleth thee. Have courage, Bartimaeus. Be of good cheer. Cheer up. Stand up. Get up, Bartimaeus. You notice the difference? Just a little while ago, they told him, hush up over there. And now they're saying, cheer up. Get up. Jesus is calling you. Be of good comfort. Rise. Why? Because He calleth thee. Someone is calling. He is calling. Who is that then? Well, Jesus, the Son of David, the very one to whom you've been crying. He is calling you, Bartimaeus. He's calling you who have been crying to Him. You who have been crying to Jesus to have mercy on me. He is calling you to come to Him. And that's happening right now too. Because there are people in this congregation too who, just like blind Bartimaeus, are crying out to Jesus. Son of David, have mercy on me. Well, Jesus has heard your cry. He stood still. And now He says, tell him to come to me. Come to me. How will you respond then to Jesus' loving command? It's a command after all. Tell him to come. He is calling you. See what Bartimaeus does? Verse 50. He, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. That garment, that's where his money is. He throws it away. It's only going to hinder him. He throws it away from himself. He stands up and he begins to walk in the direction of Jesus. A blind man. And he's walking toward Jesus. I hope somebody took his elbow and helped him along so he wouldn't bump into people on the way. But look what he did. He came to Jesus. Interesting, isn't it? Jesus stood still. Jesus commanded him. And he came to Jesus. Having cast away his garment, having stood up, he came to Jesus. He's heard it so clearly. Jesus is calling you. Come to Jesus. What a blessed command. Not from the lips of one of the disciples. A blessed command from Jesus Christ Himself. Oh, Bartimaeus comes in obedience to the call of Jesus. And he comes to Jesus. And we need to realize something. That Jesus will never return to Jericho. So this is Bartimaeus' one and only opportunity to come to Jesus. And you know, Scripture says, today is the day of grace. And that means for us too. Today is the only opportunity for us to come to Jesus as sinners. People who realize our blindness for spiritual matters. People who know only two things. I am a great sinner. And I need this great Savior. Jesus says, come. Come to me. Those people begin to cry out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Even if other people tell them to be quiet. Even if other people tell you, don't take it so seriously. There will be tomorrow. Oh, no, there won't be tomorrow. Jesus said so. Today is the day, not tomorrow. Even if others tell these people, everything is okay with you. Don't make such a big deal about eternity. But you know it's not okay. And you need the mercy of the Lord Jesus. Even when others tell you to be quiet, you will cry all the more. Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus Christ today, this evening, stands still. And He commands you, be called. And so, we call sinners, saying to you, cheer up, stand up. Why? Because He is calling you. Oh then, do like Bartimaeus. Because it's now or never. That's how serious the gospel call really is. You notice Bartimaeus, he threw away his outer garment. That garment would have hindered him in his going to Jesus. It would have slowed him down. And I'm afraid there are people here too, I know you well enough, who are having to throw some things away in order for you to come to Jesus. What is it that you need to cast away so you can come unhindered to the Lord Jesus? Is it your fear of man? That's a great struggle for many of you. The fear of man. What will my husband say? Or what will my wife say or my parents if I go to Jesus? Is it perhaps for some of you the strong attraction to the entertainments of the world? That's a problem too. Do you have to cast that away? Is it for some of you perhaps a strong aversion to the commandments of God? With all His thou shalt nots and thou shalt, and that's too constricting for you? What is it that hinders you? What is it that keeps you from coming to Jesus when He says, command Him to come to me? What is it that you have to cast away? What is it that you have to drop and leave it behind and stand up and come to Jesus? Will you not come? What could be more important? What could be more weighty than your coming to Christ for salvation? There can be nothing. Nothing that is allowed to hinder you. Do like Bartimaeus. And he came to Jesus. And then it can be said of you too. Jesus called you and you came to Jesus. You will never be disappointed. He will not turn you away either. Maybe that's also a fear for some people. Oh, but if I come, He won't accept me. You don't read that in your Bible anywhere, do you? Whoever comes to me, he says, I will in no wise cast out. Oh, cry to Jesus Christ, Son of David, have mercy on me. He hears that cry. He stands still when he hears it. He will not turn you away. He delights in mercy, it says in one of the prophets. And he has abundant mercy, abundant grace, abundant salvation. He gave his son. Remember from this morning? He gave his life a ransom for many. Not just for a few, but for many. Well, we want to hear the blessed conclusion of this whole matter too. But we'll do that after we sing. Our third thought is the blessed conclusion. Verse 51. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? That's a familiar question to us now, isn't it? We heard the same question this morning. Two times in one Lord's Day, the Lord Jesus Christ comes with this question. This morning he came as to James and John and to us and saying, What would ye that I should do for you? And now he comes with the same question, the same day, for the second time. He's pressing us. He wants an answer. What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Jesus Christ asks you that question at this very moment. What do you want me to do for you? These are the words of the servant of Jehovah, spoken to blind Bartimaeus in this text, but spoken to each one of us too, through the word of God. What do you want me to do for you? The Lord Jesus knows exactly what Bartimaeus wants him to do for him. Why does he ask him then? Why doesn't he just heal him? He knows that that's what Bartimaeus wants. Well, it's because he wants Bartimaeus to spell it out for him. He wants Bartimaeus to express it in his own words exactly what it is that he wants Jesus to do. Exactly what it is that he wants from Jesus. Bartimaeus has been crying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. But that's not a very specific request. That's very general. We could cry out for mercy and we could mean all kinds of things by that. We could mean by that, I need some more money. That would be merciful too. See, but Jesus wants him to tell him. Tell me, Bartimaeus. Tell me how I can show you mercy. What is it that you want me to do for you in having mercy on you? Jesus asks you and me that question. And this morning we were given time to consider our answer before we would come back tonight and hear that same question coming back again. Have you considered that today? Have you laid it before the Lord? Oh Lord Jesus, this is what I want you to do for me. Or do you know yet what you need Jesus to do for you? Bartimaeus knows. Rabboni, he says, that I might receive my sight. He calls him my teacher. My teacher. That's a title of honor for a Jewish teacher. It's the way a student looks up to his teacher with great respect and says, my teacher. He has a personal relationship with this teacher. He's already addressed him as Jesus, meaning Savior. He's already addressed him as Son of David, the promised King. Now he calls him my teacher. What a blessed man this is to have this kind of relationship with Jesus. He knows him as my necessary Savior. He knows him as the promised Messiah. He knows him as his teacher, my dear teacher, teaching me the Word of God. Teachers are really blessed people, aren't they? They get to teach children the Word of God. And in many ways, teachers here on this earth are to be like the Lord Jesus Christ, asking these kinds of questions and teaching as they go along, teaching the Word of God. The blind man said, "Oh, my teacher, I have one request for you, that I might receive my sight." That's the one thing I need from Jesus. Do that for me. Give me my eyesight. And Bartimaeus doesn't realize how desperate his case really is. I said before, it's now or never. This is the only opportunity Bartimaeus has. Jesus is not coming back to Jericho, but that's not all. This is also the final healing miracle Jesus performs upon request. He does one more. That's when he heals the ear of Malchus later on. But here, someone asks him to do this for him, and it's the last time he does it. There are no more healings recorded in the Gospel according to Mark. This is it. This is the final one. And see, so for Bartimaeus, it really was a desperate case. But for us, it is too. Because we don't know, do we? We don't know if there's going to be a tomorrow. But look what Jesus says to him. Go thy way. No, he's not telling Bartimaeus, get out of here. No. Go thy way, Bartimaeus. You can be on your way now. Your faith has made you whole. He's healed him through faith, because Bartimaeus has this faith that the Lord has given him. Your faith has healed you. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight. That very moment, Bartimaeus sees. And the very first person he sees is Jesus. That's who he sees. Immediately, he receives his sight and follows Jesus in the way. Bartimaeus follows the Lord Jesus on the road, physically, following him on the road to Jerusalem. But there's more to it than that. Otherwise, he would be like all the others who followed Jesus just for the miracles. No, thy faith, says Jesus, has made thee whole. Your faith has saved you. So there's not only physical healing that took place that day. Not only did he receive his eyesight and was able to see Jesus and others. He already had faith as a gift from the Spirit worked in his heart. And now Jesus says that faith has saved you. Faith has saved you. Same thing is said in Ephesians 2 verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. That explains also what we read in the parallel passage in Luke chapter 18 verse 43. Immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. He followed Jesus, glorifying the Lord, praising God as he followed the Lord Jesus as a disciple. That means he spoke well of the Lord Jesus. He spoke well of his Savior, of his King, of his teacher. And there are people here this evening whose eyes have been opened by the grace of God. You have come to see your desperate condition too. You have come to see your sins, and you have come to see Christ Jesus, the Savior of sinners. And you have begun to follow Jesus. Now follow also the example of Bartimaeus, following him, glorifying God. When you leave this place, in your homes, in your businesses, glorifying God. I believe there are still many people in this congregation who are crying out to the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe using different words, different terminology than what Bartimaeus used. He said, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Maybe you're simply saying, "Oh God, have mercy on me, a sinner." Either way, Jesus stands still. And He hears that call. And He is calling you. He's calling you, "Come to me. And I will tell you what you need to know. You come to me and you tell me what you want me to do for you." Twice today, that question has come to us. What do you want me to do for you? Before you go to bed tonight, you need to reply to the one who asks this question, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not a coincidence that we get it twice in one day. Oh no, it's a serious matter. You are in a desperate situation. I've said several times already that Jesus never returned to Jericho. Jesus may never return here either. This may be the very last sermon that you and I get to hear. The world can end before we even leave this place. The world can end before next Lord's Day. You may die on the way home. You can be in the grave by the end of this week. But now Jesus still comes and says, "What do you want me to do for you?" And you need to reply honestly to His question. And as some of you really don't know. You really don't know what you want Jesus to do for you. Well, then I recommend that you cry out like Bartimaeus did. "Have mercy on me. Give me my eyesight that I may see what I am missing." And others do know. They know exactly what they want the Lord Jesus to do for them. "Oh Lord, give me growth in grace. Give me growth in knowledge of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Improve my eyesight that I may see Him more and more clearly and see all things clearly. And improve my eyesight that I may become more and more like Him in every way." You need to give an answer to Jesus Christ today. What do you want me to do for you? He asks you. Amen.